We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Reish Yud. The Magid Midovna had taught us that the love of Hashem and the holiness are two intrinsic parts of our soul. And the only thing we have to do is reveal them. Meaning, if we can refrain from covering them, if we can leave our soul natural, then our natural tendencies, our natural inclinations are going to be holy people and to be loving of Hashem. That's there. If you don't ruin it, if you don't defile it, that's the way a human being is. Vatanoma. And now we're continuing. We're on page Reish Yud in the Sefer Amidot. Vatanomar, and now we'll say, Ki kmo shereshit davar b'hachnasat orchim, just as when you're taking in a guest, so the first thing you do, lechabed habayit midvarim hapchutim v'abzuyim, you clean up, right? Lotzi et hazevel v'hashpatot, you clean out the garbages, you don't let a guest in with a house full of dirty diapers and dirty garbage pails overflowing. So by the same token, ken reshita ahava v'advekut b'Hashem itbarach, so too the beginning of loving and connecting to Hashem, blessed be He, lotzi min alev ahavot zarot atkuot v'antuot bo, is to remove foreign loves that are implanted in the heart. V'achar she levavcha yeh rek mikol hamonei ahavot hev liyot, and when your heart is free of all those myriad of different loves that a person might have that are nonsensical. I love my shoes. I love my car. I love the smell of fresh leather. So many things we love. Well, it's nonsensical. It's not so important. I love Dunkin' Donuts. I love a good slice of pizza with a fresh cup of Coke, freshly squeezed with the ice. Oh, so many things I love. I love a ride in a Rolls Royce with the music and surround sound. No, says the Magid Midovna, if you want to know love, you have to remove the foolishness from the hearts. Ah, there are foolish loves out there. I love the feeling of silk or a good fur coat or felt. No, that's not love. Stop. Take out the foolishness from your heart. And then there'll be room for true love. When you shine it like a mirror, when you shine it like a beautiful stone, that's when you start having clarity in the love of Hashem. And his heart, so to speak, will take in, will hug the heavens. He will float on the wings of connection. To connect to the holy, honorable King, blessed be He. So, we have to realize that this is a system. Meaning, we live in a world that's filled with temptation. And there are a lot of things that seem very worthwhile, worth our love. Come on, did you see the new Galaxy, the iPhone, the iPad? Don't you love all the new apps? No, I don't love them. We allow ourselves to get carried away and dedicate much emotion and thought and connection to things that are materialistic, and they get in our way. So to uproot these loves, you know what's interesting about this class? By giving these examples, I'm timing the class, meaning in 30 years, they're going to look back at this and say, what? Galaxy, what's he talking about? Today, it's the main thing, but in 30 years, our grandchildren are going to be listening to these classes and saying, what geeks? They're still using that iPhone. Okay. It's like I tell you guys Atari. You don't even know what Atari is, probably. Right? Okay. At least you know. Okay. So how does one uproot these loves? Two ways. So, person has to be focused, he has to take note of these things consistently. Firstly, firstly, a person has to realize that all the things he covets in this world, they're really vain. The truth is, they're toys. They are distractions. They don't really carry the weight that we think they do. You begin feeling like you need something. So you begin with a feeling that I'm missing something. I don't have it, so I feel like I'm lacking. But what you don't realize is that if your feeling of lacking, if you're going to allow yourself to feel lacking because you don't have something materialistic, then after you attain it, you'll still feel lacking. Because that feeling of lacking is something missing in me. If I can't feel whole without an iPhone, so then I won't feel whole with an iPhone either. Because there's something wrong with me, if that's what I need to feel whole. So the Magid Midovna here says a fantastic point. He says it in four words, but that's the genius of the Magid Midovna. He says, you begin missing, you end off missing. If you're missing something because you don't have something materialistic, obviously we're not talking about shelter, food, warmth, we're not talking about the basics, then you have to realize you're not going to feel much better after you have it. Point number two. So he says, if you want to overcome these loves, so then you have to firstly think about what's really valuable in life. Think about the fallacious facade that these materialistic things present. You know how they always advertise these things on the big smile. Now you get this, you're going to smile, you're going to be happy. But that's not true. It was fascinating. I had a guest this past Shabbos who spent an hour arguing with me that after the meal, as I was cleaning up, but still an hour. Next to you guys. Spent an hour arguing with me that it's the materialistic things that are going to make you happy, and without them, how could you be happy? So we spent an hour arguing back and forth, but this was the only life he knew. What? No, we didn't get to that level. We weren't talking about siddurim. We were talking about things far more base than that.
You can't always, prove them that spiritual, stuff are more important than the materialistic one.
I'm not talking spirituality. I once thought along the lines that you're saying, but ever since I started reading Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and I see a person presenting a system that Saturn, the automobile company, GM, that non-Jewish, secular companies have adopted his system, and he speaks about this. Meaning, I sometimes read his book and I'm blown away. How did he get that? I have it from the Torah, but where did he get that from?
Same source.
He
read your books.
No, he's older than I am, and he's had this system for a long time, and he discusses this. What we're discussing now can be severed from the Jewish aspect and can be discussed as a holistic approach to life. Doesn't have to be within the realm of Judaism. This is good advice for anyone. Okay.
I mean, we're talking about people who come from the poor of a country. What they're missing is money. What they're missing is money.
So we began with that. We said you need, we're not discussing the basic necessities of life. Of course you need a Jaguar and a DVD. Now, there are some basic necessities. After that, we're talking after that, right? Shenit.
So what's the yisod?
The yisod is that the love of Hashem can only be attained when we can uproot these external distractions from our heart, when we can sever that attachment that we show to them. And the root to that is, number one, to realize that they are not the source of happiness, to realize how short-lived they are, that the satisfaction that they give. And number two, shenit, akira b'fol, to actually uproot it. Ainu litametzu litnaged b'masim neged havaot atkot palev. To actively uproot them, meaning to do actions. I hate Facebook. I'm not in love with Facebook. I'm really not in love with Facebook. I'm not. I just have to see what my friends are up to. I'm not in love. It's just, you know, it's a habit. Yeah, so that's what he says. You have to do actions. I'm not in love with smoking. I don't have to smoke. I could put this down for a second. I could put it down for another second. Look at that. You see, I'm not addicted. Really. I'm not. Don't you see the cigarettes right there? So we all have that, where we can say a lot of things. Says the Magid Mitovna, so point number one, we have to realize this isn't so important. Point number two, we have to act like it's not so important. So if you're not addicted to Facebook, try taking a day off of Facebook. Hi, Mark Zuckerberg. What's his name?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes, you heard it here first. A day off of Facebook. Yes, they did that. They had a campaign on Tisha B'Av or Tzom Gedalia, one day without cell phones. Can you guys imagine that? A day without cell phones. Or they did an hour without cell phones. They did something where people were supposed to take like an hour or two to reflect on life, to try being without cell phones. Because you know what happens? It's not only with regard to God, it's also with regard to life. You see people picking up their kids, and they're like this. Yeah, how's your day today, honey? Yeah, good, amazing. They're standing at the park, pushing the kid on the swing, and they're...
You met with a carriage this year.
Moms with their phone.
Watching us crossing the street is sick.
They're walking their kids home and they're on the cell phone. So we're having virtual parenting here. This is very exciting. We're the virtual generation. But what can we do? The kids' needs are not virtual. They're very real. We had a student here 2 years ago. Two, 3 years ago, I don't remember. We had a student here who told us the following story. His dad was a big businessman, and he went away on a business trip. They lived in this mansion. He had a fancy car, and anything you could dream of, he had there. And his father comes home after 3 weeks that he hasn't seen his dad, and he's at one end of the hallway, and his dad's on the other end of his hallway. And I'll make up a name. His dad goes, "Hi, Mark, how are you?" and walks into the other room. He was busy. Yes, life's busy. 3 weeks, he didn't see his dad. And suddenly, it's, "Hi, Mark, how are you?" And he's in the other room. He's back on the computer. Virtual parenting. But the ideas that the Magid Mitovna is giving us here are ideas for life. And that's what I'm telling you. It's not only about the love for Hashem that he's presenting here. One of the best pieces of advice that I give couples, and I don't know if a lot of what I say is worth anything, but this point I've gotten a lot of feedback on. I tell couples, the first month you're married, you come home at night, shut your cell phones, shut the computers, shut the house phone, and be together. Try it for 1 month. Now, I've been saying this piece of advice before this addiction of SMS, instant messages, chats, and everything came out. I don't know, maybe now I have to say try it for 2 weeks, because maybe people are going to think I'm crazy if I say for a month. But all I'm saying is at nights, but I think our generation in the last year or two has reached a level of insanity where they're going to look at me like I'm insane. So,
Shabbat, we can't do that either.
Right. So I used to say, I have to reconsider, but I used to say that take the first month and just shut off all communication with the external world and be with one another. And every couple came back to me and said to me, "We didn't do it for 1 month, we did it for 1 month. So it was so good, we did it for 2 months. Because suddenly we get to be together." Nowadays, if couples want to talk to one another, say he's sitting at this side of the table, she's sitting at that side of the table, they send one another an email.
No, they don't need email anymore.
Chat, instant messaging. What?
Can I ask a question? What do you see on Facebook?
What do you see?
On Facebook.
It's a profile page.
I didn't.
It's like a. share pictures.
You share pictures? Anything else besides share pictures?
I don't think that's the topic for this class. If you're if you're fortunate enough not to be a part of this, so be happy. Good for you. So the Magen Midvna says step two is to take an action, to actually apply some effort to go against the tide, to do actions to uproot these loves that are stuck in our heart. Because habit doesn't leave us. It's a habit. It's not so easy to change a habit. Really, it's just not easy. So, number two, he says, is active. Take an action. Ki im al pi ma'asim pa'amim rabot neged ha'chefetz asher balev, if you can do multiple actions against that desire that's in the heart, acharei ki titbonen ba'achito v'tachlito, when you look at your goal, look at where you're headed. Ki ino ra'ui livchor bo, af ki la'ava oto. If you think about it and you say, I shouldn't be doing that, even though I like it, ותמשול ברוחך להכריח עצמך להסכים לעשות נגד רצונך. And then, here's the big one. Take control of your spirit to do things against your desire. ואז יירף ממך. Then you'll be able to overcome it. And he spells it out like it's so easy. This is the hardest thing in life. People die because they can't do this. I know I shouldn't drink and drive. I know I shouldn't drink and drive. I know I shouldn't drink and drive. I know. Shouldn't drink and drive.
So what if the first one is to bone in on what you're doing and then do
he says, think about it and then be active about it. Realize where you're headed, what's your goal, and do it. I really shouldn't be eating from this. I really shouldn't be eating. This is terrible for my diet. This is terrible for my heartburn. Right? But we're still eating. I shouldn't be having this cup of coffee. You know they say coffee's bad for the liver. You know they say drinking is bad for the liver. What? Sure, coffee's bad for the liver. 100%.
Yeah,
coffee's bad for the liver. Where's my cup of coffee? Ah, right? Because he spells out this point like it's an easy point. It's not an easy point. This is the challenge of life. It's very easy to say, yeah, if it makes sense, do it. But why are so many diabetics having sugar? Why are so many overweight people gaining more weight? Because this is the challenge of life. It's not so simple. But he's giving us the formula. How do you contend with the challenge? And you know what? At the end of the day, a person feels different. A person feels better when he conquers himself. Every time you have a challenge and you conquer it, you suddenly feel a satisfaction that cannot be compared. We take a small example. Let's say a guy decides that he's going to hold off on that cigarette for an hour. So that hour is hard. And that's the way, by the way, if you want to conquer a trait, start small. Small and doable. So you say, okay, I'm smoking 3 packs a day. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take 1 hour when I won't smoke. Push off, 1 hour. I can do that. So if I usually start smoking at 6:30 in the morning, I'm going to say, okay, maybe I can't handle going 6:30 without my first 3 cigarettes, but between 7 and 8, I won't smoke. Between 7 and 8, 10. Between 7 and 8, 20. What?
Then you talk about a really addictive person, right?
Hey, of course. Yeah, sure. I'm talking about addiction. But okay, but we're all really addicted. We all have our things that we're addicted to. So today it's the internet, so it's eating, so it's sweets, so it's lashon hara. We all have our points. We're all addicted. We're a generation of addictions, but we have to overcome it.
Never stopped.
It never stopped.
Since the time of the apple,
never
stopped.
No, people never had the capacity as they do today. When you didn't have a slice of bread to eat, where people were fighting for their lives, what could they be addicted to? They were addicted to fighting for their lives. Yeah, they were addicted to fighting for life. No.
Happiness, right. Happiness Shabbos in this big show.